Right, now, on our show, Theme of the Brain, very pleased to welcome to the studio this week Professor Nick Craddock. He's from Cardiff University. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Chris.
Thanks for coming in. Now, your research actually looks at a different aspect of brain problems, which is a neuropsychiatric condition, reasonably common, bipolar disorder or manic depression.
That's right.
Tell us a bit about it.
So, bipolar disorder, as you say, used to be called manic depression. It's severe disturbance of mood in which people at some times have episodes of depression and at other times have episodes of elevated mood or mania, where they're in an energised state, rush around, think very quickly, often make judgments that they later regret, perhaps spend a lot of money. And it's quite often associated with delusions and hallucinations. So perhaps somebody believes that they're a very important person or on a special mission.
It's quite common, isn't it? I mean, 1% of the population?
Yeah, the most severe form affects about 1% of the population, but we know that probably several more percent have a milder form that's usually just diagnosed as depression, but actually is a form of bipolar disorder.
Now, why is it that people should have this alternation between being very depressed and then getting so high that they're out of control? What's actually going on?
We don't know. Clearly, there are changes in the systems that regulate mood, which are operating in a different way in people with bipolar illness from normal, so that the stresses and strains of normal life are essentially sending the mood stabilization system out of control at certain times. Unfortunately, we haven't really pinned down exactly which those systems are, and hence a lot of research is going on at the moment to understand that better so that we can have much more effective treatments.
Pretty famous people have had it and got it. They say that it's, you know, when people are high, they're so creative that this is what makes them stand out from the crowd and be great writers, poets, people like Stephen Fry even, very great sense of humour.
Unfortunately, that's only true up to a point. So if somebody's mildly high, then they can be very productive and creative. The problem is that when somebody becomes severely ill, they certainly won't be creative and productive because they'll be distractible, unable to focus on things, very likely to do completely reckless things, perhaps blowing all their savings within a day, perhaps getting into fights, driving, you know, dangerously, this sort of thing. So in a milder form, yes, it can be associated with creativity, but not in the more severe forms.
Does one tend to turn into the other? Do people start off mild and then slowly lose control? Because I have some close colleagues who've been absolutely academically brilliant,
yes,
and have subsequently been diagnosed with this and have lost control. But in the early days, I've never met people so clever. The only person I've ever seen who could have a conversation on one subject with you whilst typing a grant application with the other hand on a computer he wasn't even watching, and it would make perfect sense what was coming out on that screen. That's how that person was in the early days.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, if it's in the milder stages of illness, then it is possible that that can actually be quite a productive state. But the real problem is that there's a tendency then for the mood just to go out of control, and then it's very problematic for the person and the family, and often leads to them losing jobs and splitting
up. Is it not the mental illness that has the highest suicide rate attached to it? Because it makes life hell on earth for the people who have it.
That's right. About one in six people with bipolar illness will eventually end their life by suicide.
Is it a one-way street when you get to that very severe spectrum of the problem? Can you wind it back so you get back to being relatively normal, functioning, and so you have all that energy and you can focus better again? Or once you've got very, very bad, is it pretty much a life sentence?
No. I mean, an episode of mania can be treated effectively with medication, and the person can get back to feeling essentially having normal mood, but it's likely that they'll then need medication to actually keep the mood within normal levels. The problem at the moment is our treatments are only effective in a proportion of people, and they can have intolerable side effects. So what we're doing is trying to do research to understand better the causes of illness and develop much more effective treatments.
Because it has a genetic association, doesn't it, mania? It tends to run in families.
Yes, a very strong genetic association. Family and twin studies have shown that very clearly, that genes play a major role in influencing risk.
Although, do we know which ones?
No, not yet. The research is going on, and there are a number of genes that we are working on at the moment that we're confident do play a role, but exactly characterising that and pinning down the systems is going to take a little bit more work yet. But I think we can be very optimistic that over the next few years we're going to have a much better understanding and we'll be able to develop much better methods of diagnosis and treatment.
Thank you very much, Nick Craddock from Cardiff University, who's working on trying to find out the genetic causes of bipolar disorder.